the sweat of her labours. She had long brown hair, and it had been bound up in a chignon from which paler strands escaped to hang around her narrow cheeks. She wore a single garment, a short dress of brilliant reds, blues, and greens. Machinery. There was awareness of monstrous machinery just beyond this immediate space. The woman's dress contrasted severely with a drab and dragging sense of machinery. She spoke, but her lips did not move. "Listen, you. When it comes time for you to take over these controls, don't become a destroyer. I'm here to help you avoid the destroyers. Do you know that?" Mabella tried to speak but had no voice. "Don't try so hard, girl," the woman said. "I hear you." Mabella tried to shift her attention away from the woman. "Where is this place?" "One operator. A giant warehouse. Factory. Everything automated. Webs of feedback lines centered into this tiny space with its complex controls." Thinking to whisper, Mabella asked, "Who are you?" And heard her own voice roar, agony in her ears. "Not so loud. I'm your guide of the Mohlata, the one who steers you clear of the destroyers."
"Dur, protect me," Mabella thought. "This is no place. It's me."
On that thought, the control room vanished. She was a migrant in the void, condemned never to be quiet, never to find a moment of sanctuary. Everything but her own fleeting thoughts became immaterial. She had no substance, only a wispy adherence that she recognized as consciousness.
"I have constructed myself out of fog."
Other memory came. Bits and pieces of experiences she knew were not her own. Faces leered at her and demanded her attention, but the woman at the shuttle controls pulled her away. Mabella recognized necessities but could not put them into coherent form. "These are lies in your past." It was the woman at the shuttle controls, but her voice had a disembodied quality and came from no discernible place. "We are descendants of people who did nasty things," the woman said. "We don't like to admit there were barbarians in our ancestry. A reverend mother must admit it. We have no choice." Mabella had the knack of only thinking her questions now.
"Why must I?"
"The victors bred. We are their descendants. Victory often was gained at great moral price. Barbarism is not even an adequate word for some of the things our ancestors did." Mabella felt a familiar hand on her cheek.
"Duncan."
The touch restored agony.
"Oh, Duncan, you're hurting me."
Through the pain, she sensed gaps in the lives being revealed to her, things withheld. "Only what you're capable of accepting now," the disembodied voice said. "Others come later when you're stronger, if you survive."
"Selective filter,"
O'Drade's words.
"Necessity opens doors."
Persistent wailing came from the other presences. Laments.
"See? See what happens when you ignore common sense?"
Agony increased. She could not escape it. Every nerve was touched with flame. She wanted to cry, to scream threats, to implore for help. Tumbling emotions accompanied the agony, but she ignored them. Everything happened along a thin thread of existence. The thread could snap.
"I'm dying."
The thread was stretching. It was going to break. Hopeless to resist, muscles would not obey. There probably were no muscles remaining to her. She did not want them anyway. They were pain. It was hell and would never end. Not even if the thread snapped. Flames burned along the thread, licking at her awareness. Hands shook her shoulders.
"Duncan, don't!"
Each movement was pain beyond anything she had imagined possible. This deserved to be called the agony. The thread no longer was stretching. It was pulling back, compressing. It became one small thing, a sausage of such exquisite pain that nothing else existed. The sense of being became vague, translucent, transparent.
"Do you see?"
The voice of her Mohalata guide came from far away.
"I see things."
not exactly seeing, a distant awareness of others. Other sausages. Other memory encased in the skins of lost lives. They extended behind her in a train whose length she could not determine. Translucent fog. It ripped apart occasionally, and she glimpsed events. No, not events themselves. Memory. "Share witness," her guide said. "You see what our ancestors have done. They debase the worst curse you can invent. Don't make excuses about the necessities of the times. Just remember, there are no innocents."
Ugly. Ugly.
She could hold on to none of it. Everything became reflections and ripping fog. Somewhere there was a glory that she knew she might attain.
Absence of this agony.
That was it. How glorious that would be.
Where is that glorious condition?
Lips touched her forehead. Her mouth.
Duncan!
She reached up.
My hands are free.
Her fingers slipped into remembered hair.
This is real.
Agony receded. Only then did she realize that she had come through pain more terrible than words could describe. Agony. It seared the psyche and remolded her. One person entered and another emerged.
Duncan!
She opened her eyes and there was his face, directly above her.
Do I still love him? He is here. He is an anchor to which I clung in the worst moments. But do I love him? Am I still balanced?
No answer. Audrade spoke from somewhere out of view.
Strip those clothes off her. Towels. She's drenched. And bring her a proper robe.
There were scurrying sounds, then Audrade once more.
Mabella, you did that the hard way, I'm glad to say.
Such elation in her voice. Why was she glad?
Where is the sense of responsibility? Where is the grail I'm supposed to feel in my head? Answer me, someone!
But the woman at the shuttle controls was gone.
Only I remain. And I remember atrocities that might make an honored matre quail.
She glimpsed the grail then, and it was not a thing, but a question. How to set those balances aright. Our household god is this thing we carry forward generation after generation. Our message for humankind, if it matures. The closest thing we have to a household goddess is a failed reverend mother, Chenoa, there in her niche. Darwy Audrade. Idaho thought of his mentat abilities as a retreat now. Mabella stayed with him as frequently as their duties allowed, he with his weapons development and she recovering strength while she adjusted to her new status. She did not lie to him. She did not try to tell him she felt no difference between them. But he sensed the pulling away, elastic being stretched to its limits.
My sisters have been taught not to divulge secrets of the heart. There's the danger they perceive in love. Perilous intimacies, the deepest sensitivities blunted. Do not give someone a stick with which to beat you.
She thought her words reassuring to him. But he heard the inner argument.
Be free. Break entangling bonds.
He saw her often these days in the throes of other memory. Words escaped her in the night.
Dependencies? Group soul? Intersection of living awareness? Fish speakers.
She had no hesitation about sharing some of this.
The intersection? Anyone can sense nexus points in the natural interruptions of life. Deaths, diversions, incidental pauses between powerful events, births.
Birth an interruption? They were in his bed. Even the chrono darkened. But that did not hide them from com eyes, of course. Other energies fed the sisterhood's curiosity.
You never thought of birth as an interruption? A reverend mother finds that amusing.
Amusing. Pulling away. Pulling away. Fish speakers. That was the revelation the Bene Gesserit absorbed with fascination. They had suspected, but Mabella gave them confirmation. Fish speaker democracy became honored matre autocracy. No more doubts.
The tyranny of the minority cloaked in the mask of the majority, O'Drake called it, her voice exultant. Downfall of democracy, either overthrown by its own excesses or eaten away by bureaucracy.
Idaho could hear the tyrant in that judgment. If history had any repetitive patterns, here was one. A drumbeat of repetition. First, a civil service law masked in the lie that it was the only way to correct demagogic excesses and spoils systems. Then the accumulation of power in places voters could not touch. And finally, aristocracy.
The Bene Gesserit may be the only ones ever to create the all-powerful jury,
Mabella said.
Juries are not popular with legalists. Juries oppose the law. They can ignore judges.
She laughed in the darkness.
Evidence? What is evidence except those things you are allowed to perceive? That's what law tries to control. Carefully managed reality.
Words to divert him. Words to demonstrate her new Bene Gesserit powers. Her words of love fell flat.
She speaks them out of memory.
He saw this bothered O'Drade almost as much as it dismayed him. Mabella did not notice either reaction. O'Drade had tried to reassure him.
Every new Reverend Mother goes through an adjustment period. Manic at times. Think of the new ground under her, Duncan. How can I not think of it?
First law of bureaucracy, Mabella told the darkness.
You do not divert me, love.
Grow to the limits of available energy.
Her voice was indeed manic.
Use the lie that taxes solve all problems.
She turned toward him in the bed, but not for love.
Honored matres played the whole routine, even a social security system to quiet the masses, but everything went into their own energy bank.
Mabella.
What?
Surprised at the sharpness of his tone.
Didn't he know he was talking to a Reverend Mother?
I know all of this, Mabella. Any mentat does.
Are you trying to shut me up?
Angry.
Our job is to think like our enemy, he said. We do have a common enemy.
You're sneering at me, Duncan.
Are your eyes orange?
Melange doesn't allow that, and you know.
Oh. The Bene Gesserit need your knowledge, but you must cultivate it.
He turned on a glow globe and found her flaring at him. Not unexpected, and not really Bene Gesserit.
Hybrid.
The word leaped into his mind. Was it hybrid vigor? Did the sisterhood expect this of Mabella? The Bene Gesserit surprised you sometimes. You found them facing you in odd corridors, eyes unwavering, faces masked in that way of theirs, and behind the masks, unusual responses brewing. That was where Teg learned to do the unexpected. But this? Idaho thought he could grow to dislike this new Mabella. She saw this in him, naturally. He remained open to her as to no other person.
Don't hate me, Duncan.
No pleading, but something deeply hurt behind the words.
I'll never hate you.
But he turned off the light. She nestled against him almost the way she had before the agony. Almost. The difference tore at him.
Honored matres see the Bene Gesserit as competitors for power,
Mabella said.
It's not so much that men who follow my former sisters are fanatics, but they're made incapable of self-determination by their addiction.
Is that the way we are?
Now, Duncan.
You mean I could get this commodity at another store?
She chose to assume he was talking about honored matre fears.
Many would abandon them if they could.
Turning toward him fiercely, she demanded a sexual response. Her abandon shocked him, as though this might be the last time she could experience such ecstasy. Afterward, he lay exhausted.
I hope I'm pregnant again,
she whispered.
We still need our babies.
We need. The Bene Gesserit need. No longer they need. He fell asleep to dream he was in the ship's armory. It was a dream touched by realities. The ship remained a weapons factory, as it actually had become. O'Drade was talking to him in the dream armory.
I made decisions of necessity, Duncan. Little likelihood you'll break out and run amok. I'm too much a mentat for that,
How self-important his dream voice.
I'm dreaming and I know I dream. Why am I in the armory with Odraid?
A list of weapons scrolled before his eyes. Atomics. He saw big blasters and deadly dusts. Laser guns. No counting the various models. Bacteriologicals. The scroll was interrupted by Odraid's voice.
We can assume smugglers concentrate as usual on small things that bring a big price.
Sue stones, of course. Still self-important.
I'm not that way.
Assassination weapons, she said. Plans and specifications for new devices.
Theft of trade secrets is a big item with smugglers.
I'm insufferable.
There are always medicines and the diseases that require them, she said.
Where is she? I can hear her, but I can't see her.
Do honored Martres know our universe harbors blackguards not above sowing the problem before providing the solution?
Blackguards? I never use that word.
All things relative, Duncan. They burned Lampadas and butchered 4 million of our finest.
He awoke and sat upright.
Specifications for new devices.
There it was in delicate detail, a way to miniaturize Holtzman generators. 2 centimeters, no more. And much cheaper.
How was that smuggled into my mind?
He slipped out of bed, not awakening Mabella, and groped his way to a robe. He heard her snuffle as he let himself out into the workroom. Seating himself at his console, he copied the design from his mind and studied it.
Perfect.
Englobement, for sure. He transmitted to archives with a flag for Odraid and Belonda. With a sigh, he sat back and examined his design once more. It vanished in a return to his dream scroll.
Am I still dreaming?
No. He could feel the chair, touch the console, hear the field buzzing.
Dreams do that?
The scroll produced cutting and stabbing weapons, including some designed to introduce poisons or bacteria into enemy flesh. Projectiles. He wondered how to stop the scroll and study details.
It's all in your head.
Humans and other animals bred for attack scrolled past his eyes, hiding the console and its projection.
Futars? How did Futars get in there? What do I know about Futars?
Disruptors replaced the animals, weapons to cloud mental activity or interfere with life itself.
Disruptors? I've never heard that name before.
Disruptors were succeeded by Null G Seekers, designed to hunt specific targets.
Those I know.
Explosives next, including ones to spread poisons and bacteriologicals. Deceptives, to project false targets. Teg had used those. Energizers appeared next. He had a private arsenal of those, ways of increasing capacities of your troops. Abruptly, the shimmering net from his vision replaced scrolling weapons, and he saw the elderly couple in their garden. They glared at him. The man's voice became audible.
Stop spying on us!
Idaho gripped the arms of his chair and jerked himself forward, but the vision disappeared before he could study details.
Spying?
He sensed a residue of the scroll in his mind, no longer visible, but a musing voice, masculine. Defenses often must take on characteristics of the attack weapons. Sometimes, however, simple systems can divert the most devastating weapons.
Simple systems!
He laughed aloud.
Miles, where the hell are you, Teg? I have your disguised attack vessels, inflated decoys, empty except for a miniature Holtzman generator and laser gun.
He added this to his archives transmissions. When he was finished, he asked himself once more about the visions.
Influencing my dreams? What have I tapped?
In every spare minute since becoming Teg's weapons master, he had been calling up archival records. There had to be some clue in all of that massive accumulation. Resonances and tachyon theory held his attention for a time. Tachyon theory figured in Holtzman's original design. Techies, Holtzman had called his energy source. A wave system that ignored light speed's limits. Light speed obviously did not limit fold space ships. Techies?
It works because it works,
Idaho muttered. Mentats squirreled away much seemingly inconsequential data. He had a storehouse marked Techies, and proceeded to go through it without satisfaction. Not even guild navigators professed knowledge of how they guided fold space ships. Ixion scientists made machines to duplicate navigator abilities but still could not define what they did. Holtzman's formulae can be trusted. No one claimed to understand Holtzman. They merely used his formulae because they worked. It was the ether of space travel. You folded space. One instant you were here, and the next instant you were countless parsecs distant. Someone out there has found another way to use Holtzman's theories. It was a full Mentat projection. He knew its accuracy from the new questions it produced. Mabella's other memory ramblings haunted him now, even though he recognized basic Bene Gesserit teachings in them. Power attracts the corruptible. Absolute power attracts the absolutely corruptible. This is the danger of entrenched bureaucracy to its subject population. Even spoils systems are preferable, because levels of tolerance are lower and the corrupt can be thrown out periodically. Entrenched bureaucracy seldom can be touched short of violence. Beware when civil service and military join hands. The Honored Matre achievement. Power for the sake of power. An aristocracy bred from unbalanced stock. Who were these people he saw, strong enough to drive out Honored Matres? He knew it for a projection datum. Idaho found this realization profoundly dislocating. Honored Matre's fugitives. Barbaric, but ignorant in the way of all such raiders, even from before the Vandals. Moved by impulsive greed as much as by any other force. Take Roman gold. They filtered all distractions out of awareness. It was a stupefying ignorance that faltered only when the more sophisticated culture insinuated itself into the... Abruptly, he saw what Odraid was doing.
Gods below! What a fragile plan!
He pressed his palms against his eyes and forced himself not to cry out in anguish.
Let them think I'm tired.
But seeing Odraid's plan told him also he would lose Mirbella, one way or another. When are the witches to be trusted? Never. The dark side of the magic universe belongs to the Bene Gesserit, and we must reject them. Tylwyth Waugh, Master of Masters. The great common room in the no-ship, with its tiered seating and raised platform at one end, was packed with Bene Gesserit sisters, more than had ever before been assembled. Chapter House was almost at a standstill this afternoon because few wanted to send proxies and important decisions could not be delegated to service cadre. Black-robed reverend mothers dominated the assemblage in their aloof clusterings close to the stage, but the room swirled with acolytes in white-trimmed robes, and there were even the newly enrolled. Groups of white robes marking the youngest acolytes were sprinkled around in tight little groups, flocking for mutual support. Or others had been excluded by convocation proctors. The air was heavy with melange-perfumed breaths, and it had that dank, overused quality it got when conditioning machinery was overloaded. Odors of the recent lunch, strong with garlic, rode on this atmosphere like an uninvited intruder. This, and stories being spread throughout the room, heightened tensions. Most kept their attention on the raised platform and the side door where Mother Superior must enter. Even while talking to companions or moving about, they focused on that place where they knew someone soon would enter and create profound changes in their lives. Mother Superior did not herd them all into a great common room with a promise of important announcements unless something to shake the Bene Gesserit foundations was at hand. Belonda preceded Odraid into the room, mounting to the platform with that belligerent waddle which made her easily recognizable even at a distance. Odraid followed Belonda at 5 paces. Then came senior counselors and aides, black-robed Mirbella, still looking somewhat dazed from her agony only 2 weeks past, among them. Dortugla limped close behind Mirbella, with Tam and Shiana at her side. At the end of this procession came Streggy, carrying Teg on her shoulders. There were excited murmurs when he appeared. Males seldom shared assemblies, but everyone on Chapter House knew this was the gola of their Mentat Basha, living now at the cantonment with all that remained of a Bene Gesserit military. Seeing the massed ranks of the sisterhood this way, Odraid experienced an empty feeling. Some ancient had said it all, she thought. Any damned fool knows one horse can run faster than another. Often at the minor assemblages, here in this copy of a sports stadium, she had been tempted to quote that bit of advice, but she knew the ritual had its better purposes as well. Assembly showed you to one another. Here we are together, our kind. Mother Superior and attendants moved like a peculiar bundle of energy through the throng to the platform, her position of eminence at the edge of the arena. Mother Superior was never subjected to the mass scrimmage of assemblies. She never had elbows jammed into her ribs or felt the trodding of a neighbor's foot. She was never forced to move as others moved in a kind of inchworm flow composed of bodies pressed together in unwanted proximity. Thus did Caesar arrive. Thumbs down on the whole damned thing. To Belonda, she said, let it begin. Afterward, she knew she would wonder why she had not delegated someone to make this ritual appearance and utter portentous words. Belonda would love the preeminent position and for that reason must never have it. But perhaps there was some lower echelon sister who would be embarrassed by elevation and would obey only out of loyalty, out of that underlying need to do what Mother Superior commanded. Gods, if there are any of you around, why do you permit us to be such sheep? There they were, Belonda preparing them for her. The battalions of the Bene Gesserit. They were not really battalions, but O'Drade often imagined ranked sisters, cataloguing them by function. That one is a squad leader, that one is a captain general, this one is a lowly sergeant, and here is a messenger. The sisters would be outraged if they knew this quirk in her. She kept it well concealed behind an ordinary assignment attitude. You could assign lieutenants without calling them lieutenants. Terrazza had done the same thing. Bell was telling them now that the sisterhood might have to make a new accommodation with their captive Tleilaxu. Bitter words for Bell.
We have gone through the crucible, Tleilaxu and Bene Gesserit alike, and we have come out changed. In a way, we have changed each other.
Yes, we are like rocks rubbed against each other for so long that each takes on some of the conforming shape required by the other. But the original rock is still there at the core.
The audience was becoming restive. They knew this was preliminary, no matter the hidden message within these hints about Tleilaxu. Preliminary and relative in importance. O'Drade stepped to Belonda's side, signalling her to cut it short.
Here is Mother Superior.
How hard the old patterns die. Does Bell think they don't recognize me?
O'Drade spoke in compelling tones, just short of voice.
Actions have been taken that require me to meet on junction with Honored Matre leadership, a meeting from which I may not emerge alive. I probably will not survive. That meeting will be partly a distraction. We are about to punish them.
O'Drade waited for murmurs to subside, hearing both agreement and disagreement in the sounds. Interesting. The ones who agreed were closer to the stage and farther back among new acolytes. Disagreement from advanced acolytes? Yes, they knew the warning. We dare not feed that fire. She pitched her voice lower, letting remotes carry it to those in the high tiers.
Before leaving, I will share with more than one sister. These times require such caution.
Your plan? What will you do?
Questions were shouted at her from many places.
We will faint at Gamu. That should drive Honored Matre allies to Junction. We will then take Junction and, I hope, capture the Spider Queen.
The attack will occur while you are on Junction?
This question came from Garimi, a sober-faced proctor directly below O'Drade.
That is the plan. I will be transmitting my observations to the attackers.
O'Drade gestured to Teg, seated on Strege's shoulders.
The Basha will lead the attack in person.
Who goes with you?
Yes, who are you taking?
No mistaking the worry in those cries. So the word has not yet spread through Chapter House.
Tam and Dortujla, O'Drade said. Who will share with you?
Garimi again.
Indeed, that is the political question of most interest. Who may succeed Mother Superior?
Odrade heard nervous stirring behind her. Belonda excited? Not you, Bell. You already know that. Mirbella and Shiana, Odrade said. And one other if proctors care to name a candidate. Proctors formed little consulting groups, shouting suggestions from group to group, but no names were submitted. Someone had a question, though. Why Mirbella? Who knows honored Matres better? Odrade asked. That silenced them. Garimi moved closer to the stage and looked up at Odrade with a penetrating stare. Don't try to mislead a reverend mother, Dawi Odrade. After our feint at Gamu, they will be even more alert and reinforced on junction. What makes you think we can take them? Odrade stepped aside and motioned Streggy forward with Teg. Teg had been watching Odrade's performance with fascination. He looked down now at Garimi. She was currently chief assignment proctor and no doubt had been chosen to speak for a block of sisters. It occurred to Teg then that this ludicrous position on the shoulders of an acolyte had been planned by Odrade for reasons other than those she voiced. To put my eyes closer to a level with adults around me, but also to remind them of my lesser stature, to reassure them that a Bene Gesserit, if only an acolyte, still controls my movements. I will not go into all of the weaponry details at the moment, he said. Damn this piping voice. He had their attention, though. But we are going for mobility, for decoys that will destroy a great deal of the area around them if a laser gun beam hits them, and we are going to englobe junction with devices to reveal the movements of their no-ships. When they continued to stare at him, he said, If Mother Superior confirms my previous knowledge of junction, we will know our enemy's positions intimately. There should not be significant changes. Not enough time has passed. Surprise and the unexpected. What else did they expect from their Mentat Basha? He stared back at Garimi, daring her to voice more doubts of his military ability. She had another question. Are we to presume that Duncan Idaho advises you on weapons? When you have the best, you would be a fool not to use it, he said. But will he accompany you as weapons master? He chooses not to leave the ship, and you all know why. What is the meaning of that question? He had deflected her and silenced her, and she did not like it. A man should not be able to maneuver a reverend mother that way. Odrade stepped forward and put a hand on Teg's arm. Have you all forgotten that this Gola is our loyal friend, Miles Teg? She stared at particular faces in the throng, choosing ones she was certain watchdogged the comm eyes and knew Teg was her father, moving her gaze from face to face with a deliberate slowness that could not be misinterpreted. Is there one among you who dares cry nepotism? Then look once more at his record in our service. Sounds of the convocation became once more those in keeping with other graces they expected in assemblies. No more vulgar clash of demanding voices vying for attention. Now they fitted their speech into a pattern much like plain song, and yet not quite a chant. Voices moved and flowed together. Odrade always found this remarkable. No one directed the harmony. It happened because they were Bene Gesserit. Naturally. This was the only explanation they needed. It happened because they were practiced in adjusting to each other. The dance of their everyday movements continued in their voices. Partners, no matter transitory disagreements. I will miss this. It is never enough to make accurate predictions of distressful events, she said. Who knows this better than we? Is there one among us who has not learned the lesson of the Kwisatz Haderach? No need to elaborate. Evil prediction should not alter their course. That kept Belonda silent. The Bene Gesserit were enlightened, not dullards who attacked the bearer of bad tidings. Discount the messenger? Who could expect anything useful from the likes of that one? That was a pattern to be avoided at all costs. Will we silence disagreeable messengers, thinking the deep silence of death obliterates the message? The Bene Gesserit knew better than that. Death makes a prophet's voice louder. Martyrs are truly dangerous. Odrade watched reflexive awareness spread through the room, even up to the highest tiers. We are entering hard times, sisters, and must accept that. Even Mirbella knows it. and she knows now why I was so anxious to make a sister of her. We all know it, one way or another.
Audrey turned and glanced at Belonda. No disappointment there. Belle knew why she was not among the chosen.
It's our best course, Belle. Infiltrate. Take them before they even suspect what we're doing.
Shifting her gaze to Mabella, Audrey saw respectful awareness. Mabella was beginning to get her first batches of good advice from other memory. The manic stage had passed, and she was even regaining a fondness for Duncan. End time, perhaps. Bene Gesserit training assured that she would judge other memory on her own. Nothing in Mabella's stance said, keep your lousy advice to yourself. She had historical comparisons and could not evade their obvious message. Don't march in the streets with others who share your prejudices. Loud shouts are often the easiest to ignore. I mean, look at them out there shouting their fool heads off. You want to make common cause with them.
I told you, Mabella. Now judge for yourself.
To create change, you find leverage points and move them. Beware blind alleys. Offers of high positions are a common distraction paraded before marches. Leverage points are not all in high office. They are often at economic or communications centers, and unless you know this, high office is useless. Even lieutenants can alter our course, not by changing reports, but by burying unwanted orders. Belle sits on orders until she believes them ineffective. I give her orders sometimes for this purpose, so she can play her delaying game. She knows it, and yet she plays her game anyway. Know this, Mabella, and after we share, study my performance with great care.
Harmony had been achieved, but at a cost.
Audrey signalled that convocation was ended, knowing well that all questions had not been answered nor even asked. But the unasked questions would come filtering through Belle, where they would get the most appropriate treatment. Alert ones among the sisters would not ask. They already saw her plan. As she left the great common room, Audrey felt herself accept full commitment for choices she had made, recognizing previous hesitancy for the first time. There were regrets, but only Mabella and Shiana might know them. Walking behind Belonda, Audrey thought about
the places I will never go, the things I will never see except as a reflection in the life of another.
It was a form of nostalgia that centered on the scatterings, and this eased her pain. There was just too much for one person to see out there. Even the Bene Gesserit, with its accumulated memories, could never hope to catch up with all of it, not with every last interesting detail. It was back to grand designs, the big picture, the mainstream, the specialties of my sisterhood. Here were essentials mentats employed, patterns, movements of currents and what those currents carried, where they were going, consequences, not maps, but the flowings.
At least I have preserved key elements of our jury-monitored democracy in original form. They may thank me for that one day.
Seek freedom and become captive of your desires. Seek discipline and find your liberty. The Coda.
Who expected the air machinery to break down?
The rabbi asked his question of no one in particular. He sat on a low bench, a scroll clutched to his breast. The scroll had been reinforced by modern artifice, but it still was old and fragile. He was not sure of the time. Mid-morning, probably. They had eaten not long ago food that could be described as breakfast.
I expected it. He appeared to be addressing the scroll. Passover has come and gone, and our door was locked.
Rebecca came to stand over him.
Please, Rabbi, how does this help Joshua at his labors?
We have not been abandoned,
the rabbi told his scroll.
It is we who have hidden ourselves away. When we cannot be found by strangers, where would anyone look who might help us?
He peered up abruptly at Rebecca, owlish behind his glasses.
Have you brought evil to us, Rebecca?
She knew his meaning.
Outsiders always think there's something nefarious about the Bene Gesserit, she said.
So now I, your rabbi, am outsider.
You estrange yourself, Rabbi. I speak from the viewpoint of the sisterhood you made me help. What they do is often boring, repetitious, but not evil.
I made you help? Yes, I did that. Forgive me, Rebecca. If evil joins us, I have done it.
Rabbi, stop this. They are an extended clan. And still they keep a touchy individualism. Does an extended clan mean nothing to you? Does my dignity offend you?
I tell you, Rebecca, what offends me. By my hand, you have learned to follow different books than...
He raised the scroll as though it were a bludgeon.
No books at all, Rabbi. Oh, they have a coda, but it's just a collection of reminders, sometimes useful, sometimes to be discarded. They always adjust their coda to current requirements.
There are books that cannot be adjusted, Rebecca.
She stared down at him with ill-concealed dismay. Was this how he saw the sisterhood? Or was it fear talking? Joshua came to stand beside her, hands greasy, black smears on forehead and cheeks.
Your suggestion was the right one. It's working again. How long, I don't know. The problem is...
You do not know the problem,
the rabbi interrupted.
The mechanical problem, Rabbi, Rebecca said. This note chamber's field distorts machinery.
We could not bring in frictionless machinery, Joshua said. Too revealing, not to mention the cost.
Your machinery is not all that has been distorted.
Joshua looked at Rebecca with raised eyebrows.
What's wrong with him?
So Joshua trusted Bene Gesserit insights too. That offended the rabbi. His flock sought guidance elsewhere. The rabbi surprised her then.
You think I'm jealous, Rebecca?
She shook her head from side to side.
You display talents, the rabbi said, that others are quick to use. Your suggestion fixed the machinery? These others told you how?
Rebecca shrugged. This was the rabbi of old, not to be challenged in his own house.
I should praise you, the rabbi asked. You have power? Now you will govern us?
No one, least of all I, ever suggested that, Rabbi.
She was offended and did not mind showing it.
Forgive me, daughter. That is what you call flip.
I don't need your praise, Rabbi. And of course I forgive.
Your others have something to say about this?
The Bene Gesserit say fear of praise goes back to an ancient prohibition against praising your child because that brings down the wrath of the gods.
He bowed his head.
Sometimes a bit of wisdom.
Joshua appeared embarrassed.
I'm going to try sleeping. I should be rested.
He aimed a meaningful glance at the machinery area where a labored rasping could be heard. He left them for the darkened end of the chamber, stumbling on a child's toy as he went. The rabbi patted the bench beside him.
Sit, Rebecca.
She sat.
I am fearful for you, for us, for all of the things we represent.
He caressed the scroll.
We have been true for so many generations.
His gaze swept the room.
And we don't even have a minion here.
Rebecca wiped tears from her eyes.
Rabbi, you misjudge the sisterhood. They wish only to perfect humans and their governments.
So they say.
So I say. Government, to them, is an art form. You find that amusing?
You arouse my curiosity. Are these women self-deluded by dreams of their own importance?
They think of themselves as watchdogs.
Dogs?
Watchdogs. Alert to when a lesson may be taught. That is what they seek. Never try to teach someone a lesson he cannot absorb.
Always these bits of wisdom,
he sounded sad.
And they govern themselves artistically?
They think of themselves as a jury with absolute powers that no law can veto.
He waved the scroll in front of her nose.
I thought so.
No human law, Rabbi.
You tell me these women who make religions to suit themselves believe in a power greater than themselves.
Their belief would not accord with ours, Rabbi, but I do not think it evil.
What is this belief?
They call it the leveling drift. They see it genetically and as instinct. Brilliant parents are likely to have children closer to the average, for example.
A drift. This is a belief?
That is why they avoid prominence. They are advisers, even kingmakers on occasion, but they do not want to be in the target foreground.
This drift, do they believe there is a drift maker?
They don't assume there is, only that there is this observable movement.
So what do they do in this drift?
They take precautions.
In the presence of Satan, I should think so.
They don't oppose the current, but seem only to move across it, making it work for them, using the back eddies.
Why?
Ancient sailing masters understood this quite well, Rabbi. The sisterhood has what amounts to current charts, telling them places to avoid and where to make their greatest efforts. Again, he waved the scroll.
This is no current chart.
You misinterpret, Rabbi. They know the fallacies about overwhelming machines. She glanced at the laboring machinery. They see us in currents machinery cannot breast.
These little wisdoms. I do not know, daughter. Meddling in politics I accept, but in holy matters.
A leveling drift, Rabbi. Mass influence on brilliant innovators who move out of the pack and produce new things. Even when the new helps us, the drift catches the innovator.
Who is to say what helps, Rebecca?
I merely tell what they believe. They see taxation as evidence of the drift, taking away free energy that might create more new things. A sensitized person detects it, they say.
And these honored matres?
They fit the pattern. Power-closed government intent on making all potential challenges ineffectual. Screen out the bright ones, blunt intelligence.
A tiny beeping sound came from the machinery area. Joshua was past them before they could stand. He bent over the screen that revealed events on the surface.
They are back, he said. See? They dig in the ashes directly above us.
Have they found us?
The rabbi sounded almost relieved. Joshua watched the screen. Rebecca placed her head beside his, studying the diggers. 10 men with that dreaming look in their eyes of those who had been bonded to honored matres.
They only dig at random, Rebecca said, straightening. You're sure?
Joshua stood and looked into her face, seeking secret confirmation. Any Bene Gesserit could see it.
Look for yourself,
she gestured at the screen.
They are leaving. They go to the Sleekstai now.
Where they belong,
the rabbi muttered. Making workable choices occurs in a crucible of informative mistakes. Thus, intelligence accepts fallibility. And when absolute, infallible choices are not known, intelligence takes chances with limited data in an arena where mistakes are not only possible, but also necessary. Dawi O'Draid. Mother Superior did not just board an outgoing lighter and transfer to any convenient no-ship. There were plans, arrangements, strategies, contingencies on contingencies. It took 8 hectic days. Timing with Teg had to be precise. Consultations with Mabella ate up hours. Mabella had to know what she faced.
Discover their Achilles heel, Mabella, and you have it all. Stay on the observation ship when Teg attacks, but watch carefully.
O'Draid took detailed advice from all who could help. Then came the vital signs implant with encrypting to transmit her secret observations. A no-ship and long-range lighter had to be refitted, crew chosen by Teg. Belonda muttered and growled until O'Draid intervened.
You are distracting me. Is that your intent? Weaken me?
It was late morning 4 days before departure, and they were temporarily alone in the workroom. Weather clear but unseasonably cold, and air an ochre tinge from a dust storm that had blown across Central in the night.
Convocation was a mistake.
Belonda needed her parting shot. O'Draid found herself snapping back at Belonda, who had become a bit too caustic.
Necessary.
To you, maybe. Saying goodbye to your family. Now you leave us here taking in each other's laundry.
Did you just come up here to complain about the convocation?
I don't like your latest comments on honored matres.
You should have consulted us before spreading.
Their parasite spell. It's time we made that clear. A known weakness. And what does a body do when afflicted by parasites?
O'Drade delivered this with a broad grin.
Da! When you assume this pseudo-humorous pose, I would like to throttle you.
Would you like to smile as you did it, Bell?
Damn you, da! One of these days.
We don't have many more days together, Bell, and that's what's eating you. Answer my question.
Answer it yourself.
The body welcomes periodic delousing. Even addicts dream of freedom.
Ah.
Amentat peered from Belonda's eyes.
You think addiction to honored matres could be made painful?
In spite of your dreadful inability at humor, you still can function.
A cruel smile flexed Belonda's mouth.
I've managed to amuse you,
O'Drade said.
Let me discuss this with Tam. She has a better head for strategy, although sharing softened her.
When Belonda had gone, O'Drade leaned back and laughed quietly.
Softened. Don't go soft tomorrow, Dar, when you share. The Mentat stumbles on logic and misses the heart. She sees the process and worries about failure. What do we do if? We open windows, Bell, and let in common sense, even hilarity. Puts more serious matters in perspective. Poor Bell, my flawed sister. Always something to occupy your nervousness.
O'Drade left Central on departure, mourning much entangled in her thinking. An introspective mood worried by what she had learned sharing with Mabella and Shiana.
I'm being self-indulgent.
That offered no relief. Her thoughts were framed by other memory and almost cynical fatalism.
Queen bees swarming?
That had been suggested of honored matres.
But Shiana? And Tam approves?
This carried more in it than a scattering.
I cannot follow into your wild place, Shiana. My task is to produce order. I cannot risk what you have dared. There are different kinds of artistry. Yours repels me.
Absorbing lifetimes of Mabella's other memory helped. Mabella's knowledge was a powerful leverage on honored matres, but full of disturbing nuances.
Not hypnotrance. They use cellular induction, a byproduct of their damned T-probes, and conscious compulsion. How tempting to use it for ourselves. But this is where honored matres are most vulnerable. Enormous unconsciousness content locked in by their own decisions. Mabella's key only emphasizes its danger to us.
They arrived at the landing flat in the midst of a windstorm that buffeted them when they emerged from their car. O'Drade had vetoed a walk through what remained of orchards and vineyards. Leaving for the last time? The question in Belonda's eyes as she said goodbye, in Shiana's worried frown.
Does Mother Superior accept my decision? Provisionally, Shiana, provisionally. But I have not warned Mabella, so perhaps I do share Tam's judgment.
Lord Hoogla, in the van of O'Drade's party, was withdrawn.
Understandable. She has been there and watched sisters eaten. Courage, sister. We are not yet defeated.
Only Mabella had appeared to take this in stride, but she was thinking ahead to O'Drade's encounter with the Spider Queen.
Have I armed Mother Superior sufficiently? Does she know in her guts how very dangerous this will be?
O'Drade pushed such thoughts aside. There were things to do on the crossing, none of them more important than gathering her energies. Honored matres could be analyzed almost out of reality, but the actual confrontation would be played as it came. A jazz performance. She liked the idea of jazz, although the music distracted her with its antique flavors and the dips into wildness. Jazz spoke about life, though. No two performances ever identical. Players reacted to what was received from the others. Jazz.
Feed us with jazz.
Air and space travel did not often concern itself with weather. Bludgeon your way through transitory interferences. Depend on weather control to provide launch windows through storms and cloud cover. Desert planets were an exception, and that would have to be entered into Chapter House equations before long. Many changes,
including return to Fremen mortuary practices, bodies rendered for water and potash. Odraid spoke of this as they waited for transport up to the ship. That wide cummerbund of hot, dry land, expanding around the planet's equator, would begin generating dangerous winds before long. One day, there would be Coriolis storms, a blast furnace from the desert interior with speeds in hundreds of kilometers an hour. Dune had seen winds of more than 700 km. Even spacelighters took notice of such force. Air travel would be subject to the constant whims of surface conditions, and frail human flesh must find whatever shelter it could. As we always have. The lounge at the flat was old. Stone inside and out, their first major building material here. Spartan sling chairs and low tables of moulded plaz were more recent. Economy could not be ignored even for Mother Superior. The lighter arrived in a dusty maelstrom. No nonsense about suspensor cushioning. This would be a quick lift with uncomfortable G's but not high enough to damage flesh. Odraid felt almost disembodied as she said her final farewells and turned Chapter House over to a triumvirate of Shiana, Mabella, and Belonda. One last word. Don't interfere with Teg. And I don't want anything nasty happening to Duncan. Hear me, Bell? All of the wonderful technological things they could accomplish, and they still could not keep a thick sandstorm from almost blinding them as they lifted. Odraid closed her eyes and accepted the fact that she was not to get a last, low-level overview of her beloved planet. She awoke to the thump of docking, Buzzcar waiting in a corridor just beyond the lock. A humming traverse to their quarters, Tamerlane, Dortujla, and the Acolyte servant maintained silence, respecting Mother Superior's desire to be with her own thoughts. The quarters, at least, were familiar, standard on Bene Gesserit ships, a small sitting dining room in elemental plaz of uniform light green, smaller sleeping chamber with walls in the same color and a single hard cot. They knew Mother Superior's preferences. Odraid glanced into a usiform bath and toilet, standard facilities. Adjoining quarters for Tam and Dortujla were similar. Time later to look at the ship's refittings. All essentials had been provided, including unobtrusive elements of psychological support, subdued colors, familiar furnishings, a setting to disturb none of her mental processes. She gave orders for departure before returning to her sitting dining room. Food was waiting on a low table. Blue fruit, sweet and plummy. A savory yellow spread on bread, tailored to her energy needs. Very good. She watched the assigned acolyte at her self-effacing work arranging Mother Superior's effects. The name evaded Odraid for a moment, then Sweepol. A dark little thing with a round, calm face and manners to match. Not one of our brightest, but guaranteed efficient. It struck Odraid suddenly that these assignments had an element of callousness in them. A small entourage not to offend honored matres, and keep our losses to a minimum. Have you unpacked all of my things, Sweepol?
Yes, Mother Superior.
Very proud of having been chosen for this important assignment. It showed in her walk as she left.
There are some things you cannot unpack for me, Sweepol. I carry those in my head.
No Bene Gesserit from Chapter House ever left the planet without taking along a certain amount of chauvinism. Other places were never quite as beautiful, never quite as serene, never as pleasant a habitat. But this is the Chapter House that was. It was an aspect of the desert transformation she had never before viewed in quite that way. Chapter House was removing itself, going away, never to return, at least not in the lifetimes of those who knew it now. It was like being abandoned by a beloved parent, disdainfully and with malice. You are no longer important to me, child. On the way to becoming a reverend mother, they were taught early that travel could provide a peaceful byway for rest. Odraid fully intended to take advantage of this and told her companions immediately after eating,
"Spare me details."
Sweepol was sent to some